Every year, about 10,000 people in the U.S. need a stem cell transplant, but they can't find a donor. The transplant could help them survive leukemia, lymphoma, sickle cell anemia, and other blood diseases. There's a national registry where people can sign up. It's called Be the Match. But even the registry says most Americans don't know it exists. The mother of a 12-year-old boy with leukemia has set out to change that. Mandy Goldman is a hairdresser who lives with her husband and four children outside Boston. We spoke with her, her son Mateo, and reporter Linda Matchin, who first told their story in the Boston Globe. Mandy Goldman remembers the day 5 years ago when doctors told her the chemotherapy they gave her son for his leukemia didn't work.
It was Christmas Eve when we got the first phone call where they found that the chemo wasn't working and that they still saw the cancer, which was really devastating news to all of us. They told us that our only option of curing Mateo was a bone marrow transplant. So, you know, we knew that we were talking about a really, really risky procedure that came with a lot of complications, and we had to do it. That was the only option that we had.
Which meant you had to find a close enough match, and it doesn't have to be absolutely precise, but pretty close, which is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do. Nobody in the family matched. And I wonder, reporter Linda Matchin, you did this story about Mateo and Mandy and the family. You discovered something in your reporting about Mateo's story, and this is rather shocking, especially given all the medical resources we have in the United States and the people of goodwill in a place like this. What did you find out?
Well, what I found out was that unlike the awareness campaign around donating blood, for example, and there's all sorts of places in which you can donate blood, you see vans parked outside everywhere, there's such an awareness of the need for that. There's almost nothing about the need for bone marrow and stem cell donors. And there is a registry that people can sign up on, but in my opinion, in my experience, nobody really knows about this. Very, very few people are aware of this, and they're certainly not aware of how critical it is to be making donors available. For example, there's a little boy right now in North Carolina named Thor Forte, who's 10 and has sickle cell disease, and he has been waiting for literally half his life, 5 years, for a donor to be available. He's a tough match, but they finally did find somebody, and then when the time came for the procedure, the person backed out. So 2 years later, the boy is still waiting.
Mandy, how were you able to eventually find a match? And we should say you didn't find this person in this country.
We were very lucky that we found a match pretty quickly from the registry, a woman from Germany. They were able to make it happen really quickly for us. Just the fact that she was ready to go was a big part of saving Mateo, really.
This is a woman in Frankfurt, Germany. Mateo, you didn't know her name, I believe, at the time, but do you remember writing a note to her?
Yeah, it said, "Dear donor, thank you for giving me the bone marrow. You feel like you're already part of my family." Yeah.
That is such a kind note. And Linda, again, as a reporter, you went to Germany. You met this woman and you saw the note that Mateo was just telling us about. This woman showed it to you. What did it mean to her? And how did she even end up becoming a donor? Because that's a really interesting story.
Her name is Laura Sutherland, and she was in her 20s at the time. And like many young people in Germany, she is aware of this very robust public service campaign to donate bone marrow. There are jingles that you hear on the radio just telling you to swab the inside of your cheek and you can save a life. And she happened to be at a sporting event with her husband, and she was really bored and hungry. So she went wandering around and she came upon a kiosk for one of the many bone marrow registries in Germany. Just 3 months later, she got a call and an email from the registry saying that there is somebody in the United States for whom she could be a match, and was asked if she would donate, and a couple of days later went into the hospital and did the donation.
The donation is put on a plane. The stem cells make their way in a snowstorm to America. Mateo, you received the stem cell transplant. Mandy, how did he do with it, and how did things go?
So Mateo was very lucky. The cells started working right away, and He was doing well. He did suffer from graft versus host disease, which is a complication of a transplant. So he had stiffness that pretty much took over most of his body. But, you know, Mateo's an amazing kid. So through it all, he was smiling and making the best of it, even though he was suffering for a lot of the time.
So 2 years later, in July of last year, the cancer came back. But since Mateo's first transplant, the science had evolved greatly, so much so that Mateo's older brother, your son Leo, became a candidate to donate his cells. Mateo, tell me what it was like to get that second stem cell transplant, this one from your brother Leo. It's pretty cool, but I do wonder if it means you can never get mad at him ever again.
I didn't realize how I could get my brother's cells. Once that like sank in, I felt that it would connect me and my brother more. And he kids around like, you have to do whatever I say because I give you his bone marrow.
And do you?
No.
I didn't think so. So, Mandy, just before Christmas, you guys got some great news. What was it?
After your transplant, you get a bone marrow aspirate to see if there's any cancer left over, right down to like the thousandths of a cell. And Mateo had zero cancer in his bone marrow, which was amazing. That was a really big deal.
Absolutely. I know one of the things that you're doing as a result of all this, Mandy, is taking on the role of an activist, trying to raise awareness about stem cell donations. What are you trying to accomplish?
I really want to change the way we talk to our kids about doing something good for somebody else. And when you turn 18, that it's really your duty to get on the bone marrow registry and save somebody else's life. I just feel like as a mother, the amazing feeling Leo got from being able to be the person who saved his brother's life is something he's going to carry with him forever. And even Laura, she gave him 3.5 years of his life that we get to spend with him. And I just really want to educate people about how empowering it is to do something so incredible for somebody else.
I wonder what kind of pushback you get, because if you're tapped as a potential donor, there's much more involved.
Yeah, recently we had a blood drive and, you know, I stayed there all day and I talked to every person that walked in the door about joining. And I was really surprised about the fear that people had in committing to like get on the list. And that just shook me, because if anybody saw what a kid or any person who's struggling with a life-threatening disease that only has one option for a cure, and you can donate your stem cells by just getting hooked up to a machine like giving platelets or giving blood, and you know, that's nothing compared to the trauma that these kids go through. I mean, Mateo had a drain placed in his stomach while he was awake. He had total body radiation. He had chemotherapy that gave him a rash head to toe, like his skin was burning. Would somebody really say no to like one small day of their life? I just think it's the fear, you know, but once people are educated about how much of a difference it makes, then I feel like they would do it.
Thank you so much for telling us your story. We appreciate it. And Linda Matchin, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Thank you.